to go ahead and call the meeting of the Board of Minerals and Environment to order. Secretary, call the roll.
Blumhardt?
Present.
Greenfield?
Present.
Gary Hag?
Present.
Carpen?
Here.
Morris?
Here.
Peterson?
Here.
Sheets? And Chairman Hag?
Present. We do have a quorum, and so before we start, I will give the public notice reading. I'd like to welcome everyone participating in today's telephone conference call meeting or listening online. This meeting is streaming live on SD.net, a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. For the benefit of our online listeners, I request that all participants, including board members, please identify themselves when speaking during the meeting. Please mute your phone when not speaking. The meeting is also being recorded, and the audio will be made available online following the meeting. To find the audio recording online, do a web search for South Dakota Boards and Commissions Portal, follow the link, and select the name of the board. With that, we will move to our agenda, and as most of you all know by now, we've added our newest member, Gary Hag, to the board, and it's always kind of nice to get a little background on the other board members. Gary brings a lot of experience to the table, so Gary, I'll turn it over to you to just kind of introduce yourself a little more and give us a little more background.
You bet. My name's Gary Hag. In 1979, I graduated from Rutgers University with a bachelor's degree in geology. And then in 1982, I graduated with a master's degree in geology, also from Rutgers University. And then I stayed on at the university as a research assistant until 1984. In 1984, I went to work for the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection in their groundwater discharge permitting program. And I worked mainly on groundwater discharge permits for sanitary landfills. In 1989, I left the New Jersey DEP and moved to South Dakota and went to work for DENR in their groundwater quality program, where I worked on groundwater discharge plans for heap leach mining operations for one landfill, several different wastewater treatment facilities, and I also worked a lot on remediation and site assessment plans for sites with leaking underground storage tanks. In excuse me. In 2010, I left the DENR and went to work for the U.S. Forest Service in Custer, South Dakota, where I was the South Zone geologist for the forest, and I worked on processing plans of operations for various mining facilities. And I also worked on the abandoned mine lands program that the Forest Service has. And we did a lot of work with closing old abandoned mines and constructing bat gates at underground mines where there were where there was bat habitat. In September of 2020, I retired from the Forest Service. And that's about it.
Well, that sounds like quite a bit to me. We're glad to have you and that wealth of experience on board. We appreciate you being part of this group and look forward to your contributions to board issues.
Well, thank you very much.
Anybody have a question or comment for Gary before we move on? All right. Next order of business, approval of minutes from October 2022. Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes?
Uh,
Carpen moves to approve the minutes as approved.
Motion by Carpen to approve the minutes as drafted. Is there a second?
This is Gary Haig.
Second.
I'll second.
All right. From where I'm sitting, I heard Gary's name second. So Gary Haig seconded the motion. Discussion on approval of the minutes. Hearing none, Secretary call the roll on the motion to approve the October 20 minutes.
Blumhardt?
Aye.
Greenfield?
Aye.
Gary Haig?
Aye.
Arpin?
Aye.
Morris?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
And Haig?
Aye. Motion carries. The minutes are approved.
Hey.
Next
hey, Brenda.
Business is the... Go ahead.
Hey, Gary. This is John Chief. Hey, Brenda. I signed on just a little bit late. I'm just wanted to let you know for next, if you need for approvals.
Thank you.
Thanks, John. Next order of business is the consent calendar. Mr. Klein, are you there?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. I'm here to answer any questions the board members have.
Questions by the board on the consent calendar matters. Any questions from the board?
Morris moves to approve.
Motion by Morris. Is there a second?
Blumhardt second.
Moved and seconded to approve the consent calendar. Any questions about the consent calendar? Hearing none, Secretary call the roll on the motion to approve the consent calendar.
Blumhardt?
Aye.
Greenfield?
Aye.
Gary Haig?
Aye.
Arpin?
Aye.
Morris?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Sheets? John Sheets?
Aye. Aye.
And Chairman Haig?
Aye. Motion carries unanimous. Next order of business is the annual update of post-closure financial assurance for LAC Minerals, LLC, permit 445. Mr. Holm.
In the post-closure conditions for mine permit number 445, which were approved by the board on January 21st, 2016, states the financial assurance shall be automatically extended for periods of 1 year. At the time of each annual extension, the face value of the financial assurance shall be adjusted to the bonding schedule set by the board in 2016 and updated last April as part of our 5-year review. For 2023, the face value of the surety bond that serves as a post-closure financial assurance is required to be $31,596,620. This is an increase from the $30,838,220 amount, which was submitted last year as part of the 5-year review. For the increase, LAC Minerals submitted a rider to surety bond number 0917773. Fidelity Deposit Company of Maryland and Zurich American Insurance Company, which increases the amount to the new face value. Both surety companies are licensed in South Dakota and are on the U.S. Department of Treasury's list for approved surety companies. Ratings for both companies from AM Best, Standard & Poor's, and Moody's are superior, very strong, and high quality, respectively. Outlooks are stable to positive. Our recommendation is to accept the rider to surety bond number 0917703, Fidelity and Deposit Company of Maryland, and Zurich American Insurance Company, to increase post-closure financial assurance amount to $31,596,620.
Thank you, Eric. Questions by the board regarding the acceptance of the rider to the bond.
Mr. Chairman, this is John Sheets.
Go ahead, Mr. Sheets.
So, good morning, Eric. I was wondering, it may not be totally appropriate to ask this question related to, but I'm thinking about these issues, the bonding issue in particular, and wondering what kind of interest rate are we now assuming for determining the bond of that amount? And you see where I'm going with this. Inflation's kind of been higher recently, and actually it's segmented too. Different industries or different groups of industries have shown price increases that are significantly different from others. And I was, rather than accepting a single inflation rate, a general one, is it appropriate to look at individual inflation rates? And that may be beyond your scope, but for instance, for the mining industry or for construction industry. And then secondly, a rider to that question, is it appropriate to have a third party review some of the bond calculations to ensure that we are doing our job? Okay. Thank you for your time.
Yeah. The first question.
Mr. Holmes, can you answer it?
What's that?
I was just wondering if you were there, can you answer the question?
Yeah. Speaking of the inflation and the discount rates, we're reviewing the Homestake post-closure bond now, and we are taking another look at the inflation and discount rates. Homestake wanted to have their financial people look at it and see if what they can come up with, and once we get that back from them, we'll sit down and try to figure out which way to go. We'll probably show that information to our state investment council people and see what they think, and hopefully we'll come to the board sometime, maybe spring or summer, with a report on that we can present. And as far as third-party reviews, we've had third-party reviews done in the past, most recently by the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation. We've had a couple consulting firms look at our bond calculation. We've had incorporated their suggestions over the years. We've even incorporated some suggestions from the environmental community. And like I said, we're always looking at improvements on this. I'm always researching what other states are doing. So I think we'll just continue doing what we've been doing.
Okay, great. Thank you.
That answer
that helped. Yes, thank you.
All right, thank you, Mr. Sheets. The other board members have any questions of Eric Holm?
Morris moves to approve.
Motion by Morris to approve the accept the rider to bond number 09177703. Is there a second?
Carpen seconds.
Moved and seconded. Discussion on the motion to approve. Eric, this is the chairman. I appreciate your answer, and it sounds like you do routinely check with other sources to verify the accuracy and amount that should be placed on these bonds, so I appreciate that. Any further questions or comments? Hearing none, Secretary Call, the roll on the approval and acceptance of rider to bond number 09177703, Fidelity and Deposit Company of Maryland and Zurich American Insurance, increasing the post-closure financial assurance amount to $31,596,628.
Blumhart?
Aye.
Greenfield?
Aye.
Gary Hegg?
Aye.
Harpin?
Aye.
Morris?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Sheets?
Aye.
Chairman Hegg?
Aye. Motion carries. A bond rider is approved. The next order of business is the annual update on the South Dakota Volkswagen Beneficiary Mitigation Plan. Barbara, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning and Good morning and Happy New Year to the board and all listening. Today I'll be giving the annual update for South Dakota's Volkswagen Beneficiary Mitigation Plan. As Chairman Hayes said, my name is Barbara Jinsky, and I am an environmental scientist in the air quality program with DANR. Some important dates for South Dakota's plan. On August of 2018, the plan was approved by the board. On March of 2019, the governor signed a bill giving spending authority for the Volkswagen Trust Fund. In May of 2021, the plan was revised by and approved by the board. In October of 2027, at least 80% of the funds must be obligated. Currently, we have three programs that are covered under the plan. We have a truck replacement program, which currently is allotted 35% to 45% of the budget. A bus replacement plan, which is currently allotted also 35% to 45% of the budget. An electric vehicle charging station plan, which is 10% to 15% of the budget. We have some administrative costs, and our total budget is $8.125 million. The truck program, we use Volkswagen Category 1 and Category 6 funds in that. In that program, we provide rebates for replacing old diesel trucks with newer, cleaner trucks. That program is open to state and local governmental agencies. We're currently having two rounds per year open for applications in January and in June, and we did this because the state and local government seem to have different budget cycles. For rounds one through three, the rebate percentages we gave out were 25%. In those three rounds, we didn't get many applications, so we decided to, for rounds four and five, to increase that to 50%. And in those two rounds, we got way more applications than we were looking for. So last year, which was round six and seven, we gave out 35% rebates, and that seemed to work good. So this year for rounds eight and nine, we'll also give out 35% rebates. In 2023, which will be rounds eight and nine, we're planning to use about $1 million of the Volkswagen fund for those rounds. For rounds one through seven that we've already awarded, we've given out rebates to replace 45 old diesel trucks. In the bus program, we're using Volkswagen Category 2 and Category 10 funds. We had already been running the state clean diesel grant program to provide rebates to replace old diesel buses with newer, cleaner buses. So we're using these Volkswagen funds in conjunction with the other funds. Every year we would be getting DERA funds from EPA, and using the Volkswagen Category 10 funds, we're allowed to use those as match for the base EPA funds, and in doing that, EPA also gives us bonus funds, which are one half of the base funding they have given us. If we get extra applications, we've also been using the Volkswagen Category 2 fund. The rebate percentages for the bus program are dictated by the state clean diesel grant program, so we can't adjust those. We have to use what they give us. So for all the years, the rebate percentages have been 25%, if the new bus they're getting, if the engine meets the current emissions standards, or 35% if the new engine meets the carb low NOx standards. We have got some propane buses that did meet those standards, so some people have gotten the 35%. We've also offered 45% for electric buses, but we haven't gotten any applications in for those. The last round opened up in November of 2022, and we're currently having those agreements getting signed. For rounds 10 through 14, which took us up to this current year, we provided rebates to replace 146 buses. And in this New Year's round, we're going to be doing rebates for 24 more buses. Kind of as a side note to that, under the federal bipartisan infrastructure law that was put out last year, EPA got funding to also do a bus rebate program, and theirs was for electric and the carb low NOx. And it ended up that 5 South Dakota school districts got funding through them for a total of 8 buses, but they are paying 100% for the buses. So they're kind of taking some of our business away from us, I think. For the charging stations, we're using Volkswagen Category 9 funds. The maximum allowed for that category is 15%. And when we revised the plan, we increased it up to that maximum amount. The rebate percentages are up to 80% per charging station and installation. During round one, we approved 7 sites, and later 5 of them dropped out. So the 2 sites that remain from round one will be in Mitchell and Chamberlain. And for round two, we approved 8 additional sites, and those will be in Vermilion, Huron, Yankton, Aberdeen, Pierre, Brookings, Myrtle, and Spearfish. So as of now, we've obligated all the funding, but we haven't paid out any of the rebates yet. There's been delays in getting their equipment and delays in having the concrete work done. I know there are at least 4 of the sites that are operational, but they still have, like, they need to put some signs up. So just, they're operational, but they haven't gotten their rebates yet. On page 6, this is a map from DOT's plan to receive some of that bipartisan infrastructure law funding for electric vehicle charging stations, so there will be more money available soon. DOT is going to be getting $29 million over the next 5 years. And there's also an additional $2.5 billion available nationwide to the federal highway. The map is showing the different sites that were at the time of when they made this map. Their requirements are, it's going to be a lot bigger stations than what our Volkswagen sites are. To be NEVI compliant, the location has to have at least 4 charging ports and a total of 600 kilowatts available. And when they're doing the interstate, each site is going to have to be within 50 miles of the next one, and they're going to have to be within 1 mile of the interstate. So the only charger at the time of this map was the one in Wall that would have met their new requirement. And that was put in by Electrify America, which was kind of a separate pot of money from the Volkswagen settlement. And they're also working on one in Rapid and one in Chamberlain, which will be NEVI compliant. And I believe the Rapid one is now operational. There were five other fast chargers available, but those wouldn't meet the NEVI requirements. There were 9 Tesla chargers, and there were on the map in the blue are 10 Volkswagen chargers, and those ones won't be NEVI compliant either. And there were 44 level 2 chargers. For administrative costs through November of 22, we spent a little over $160,000. The maximum allowed for administration is 15%, and I kind of anticipate us spending maybe about 4%. So as a summary of the $8.125 million that we have in our budget, a little over $5.6 million have been either spent or obligated, which is 69% of the funds. So I anticipate by the end of next year, we'll probably meet that 80% obligated mark that we need to be to by 2027. There's more information available about the plan and also about the 3 programs on our website. If you get to the air quality page and look for the Volkswagen Trust Fund link, that's where you'll find that information. I'd be happy to take any questions now.
Questions from the board for Barb?
Chairman Haig, Bob Morris.
Go ahead, Mr. Morris.
Good morning, Barb.
Good morning.
It looks like the ED, we've expended all that money. Is there any ability or discussion by you or within the fund rules to add, or due to the fact that we've used up the maximum 15% in this category, we can't continue to fund it?
Yeah, the maximum allowed was 15%, so that is all we'll be able to fund.
Okay, thank you.
Barb, this is Chairman Haig. Just to follow up on that question, once we reach the 80% obligation of the funds by 2027, is there any kind of provision to then reallocate more once you've reached a certain level or if you've saturated a certain category?
Well, I believe how it's going to work is, in 2027, they'll see how many people have met that requirement, and the ones who have it, they'll have to turn their funding back in, and everybody else, I think, will be able to apply for more funding.
Okay, so it's not necessarily set up. There is, if you just don't use it, you lose it, so to speak, and then there'll be a subsequent allocation around.
Correct.
As determined by them.
Right.
Yeah. So it looks like overall we're pretty well on course for the goals we've set for the distribution of these grant funds.
I'd say we're looking pretty good, and like I said, I think probably by the end of next year we'll be at that 80%.
Okay. All right. Further questions for Barb before we let her go here? All right. Thank you, Barb. I do have a quick question maybe for any of the mining folks that are still around. I see where the federal government has approved a bill regarding the Gilt Edge Superfund and the purchase of some of that federal property. Could we maybe at the next meeting or something get a update on that, or if somebody has a quick comment that will give us bring us up to date, I wouldn't mind hearing that.
Chairman Hague, this is Mike Lee. Yes, we can provide that update at the next meeting.
Okay. Yeah, I just I think I read an article or pointed out to me about that, and I was just I knew that was in process based on the last briefing that we had, but as I understand, the legislation's been approved, and so it's moving forward. So just kind of like to know about the status of that, and then you know how those funds work or where the funds come from. I know they come from supposedly the bond, but how that works and the statutory authority, that kind of thing. But if you could do that, Mike, I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. The next item of business on the calendar is the public comment period. This is the time where members of the public may have questions or express concerns about the business the board undertakes. If there's anybody in peer or that is called in online, now would be the time to make yourself known to us, state your name and the concern. And so I'll open that up for comment at this time.
Chairman Hague, I had no one request,
yes.
No one called to request the dial-in information. So, and
okay.
We have no one in the conference room in peer, so I'm assuming there won't be any public comment.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that, Brenda. One last call for any public comment before we move on. Hearing none, we'll move on to discussion of the next meeting. Brenda, are you guys, anybody made you aware of anything that's urgent to have a meeting in March or February?
They're shaking their head no. I don't, are you talking about February, Mike, or March?
I'm sorry, both February and March. Just for the board's edification, there has been some discussion about the need for frequency of our meetings, whether we do them quarterly, or if we need them, certainly we can call them at the request of the chair when there's an item of business that certainly needs to be taken care of. But as far as regularly scheduling meetings, we may move to like quarterly meetings. But does anybody have any kind of initial response or reaction to that?
Chairman Hague, Bob Morris.
Yeah, Bob.
If we move to a quarterly meeting, would it be a date specific? The nice thing right now is, you know, for a whole year on the calendar, it's the third Thursday of every month. I can block that off, so if it doesn't create any conflicts, I like that certainty, and then if we're not going to have a meeting, we can cancel it. But if you're going to go to a quarterly meeting and then we may need a date in between, it gets kind of difficult to schedule around those issues.
Sure. So I appreciate that point. That's the type of consideration that we want to hear about. Obviously, it's pretty easy to cancel meetings or, you know, and we've done that a lot when the business can be taken care of, you know, in a month or two and there's nothing urgent. So, you know, that's currently working okay, but I think I do see some merit in not meeting monthly if we, so it's still under consideration. So for now, anyway, we'll just take it as it comes. And right now, it appears that, you know, we're not going to need a meeting in February. So we can, it would have to be something urgent that statutorily somebody needs to do, or if it's a contested case or something where we would change that. But if they're unaware of it now from the staff point, I don't think that anything would get scheduled that quickly that needed to be done anyway. So we'll, for now, for planning purposes now, we'll probably skip a February meeting.
Mr. Chairman, Doyle Carpin.
Go ahead, Mr. Carpin.
Yes, yes, I have to agree with Mr. Morris on this. It's easier to not have a meeting than try to schedule a meeting. If there is an urgency, we have to post a 24-hour notice and go through all the necessary steps to have a meeting in case we needed one urgently. So, I mean, by having a monthly, we can kind of cover all our bases, and then, as you described, if it's unnecessary to have a February meeting, I guess we don't have one.
Yeah, I think it's been, at least from my perspective, fairly fluid, and usually we give enough lead time, so, you know, I appreciate that comment. Anything else for the good of the order before we adjourn?
Mr. Chairman, this is John Sheik.
Yeah, go ahead, John.
Either way, not that it matters too much, but either way, I'm happy with quarterly or monthly. No big issue. But what I want to ask about, though, is a little bit, there was, in our last meeting in October, believe it was, or November, Mr. McGuigan reported on some of the power tech issues, and coming up in several of his statements, you can read in the minutes that there were several significant items that were going to be looked at either by the D.C. Circuit or by the county or by. It'd be nice to keep our finger on the pulse of this and get another short update. Just to see what's going on there, because that is likely to be a significant issue if it ever comes our way.
Yeah, I agree, and I'm not sure if I knew for certain the outcome of that election in Fall River County. I thought that had passed regarding it being the nuisance issue, but I'm not positive. Does anybody know that answer that's there from the department or anywhere else?
Yeah, this is Gary Haig, Mr. Chairman. It did pass.
Yes. Okay. Well, I think that's something we're going to have to.
Okay.
Go ahead. Were you done, Gary?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, we'll have to take that in its proper consideration if it's been final, so to speak, and that could be part of any update that we get, which probably sounds like we should get another one. Maybe if we meet in March, get another update just to see how it affects us, because that is, I know just from the past and in the statutes, there's some definitely some local approvals that are part of our checklist, so to speak, as I recall it anyway, sitting here right now. And so we'll need to look at that and see how that affects things. So. All right. Anything further? If not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Carpin moves to adjourn.
So Mike Carpin, is there a second?
Sheets will
Gary
second.
Hey, I'll second.
All right, moved and seconded to for adjournment. Secretary, call the roll.
Blumhardt?
Aye.
Greenfield?
Aye.
Gary Haig?
Aye.
Carpin?
Aye.
Morris?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Sheets?
Aye.
And Chairman Haig?
Aye. Motion carries. We are adjourned. Thank you all.